another chance for God to move. This trial is just another making, one more mighty moving, one more testimony, one more chance to praise the Lord. This fiery situation that you have been engaged in is just another chance for God to move. God's hand has
Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
There's still some hope for our country.
That's right.
The Independent Baptist movement as well. Deuteronomy 22 tonight, if you will. Do be in prayer, for our country on Tuesday. I think God's our only hope.
Amen.
Be in prayer for that and all that. You can do what you want. I'm not even going to watch. I'm just going to get up. It's like if I got to get doused in cold water, I just soon get it over with. So I'm just going to get up Wednesday morning and see what's going on. I'm confident the sun will rise, and so we'll, if the Lord don't come back, that would be great.
Amen.
It'd be great if the Lord come back Monday night.
Amen.
We'll get up in heaven and go and praise the Lord. Tuesday never came. But do be in prayer in all seriousness for our country and vote however God gives you liberty to vote. You know, and whatever God gives you the freedom to vote. You know, I've been pretty clear about my position. I think we, as God's people, need to do the right thing.
Amen.
And let God deal with it. I'm tired of lesser two evils. I think we ought to just vote righteousness and be done with it once and for all. Get off this road that we're on.
Amen.
But again, you know, we're not going to make it an issue here. So whatever you feel God gives you liberty to do, this is America. You have the right to vote your conscience. But whatever you do, vote.
Yep.
Amen. Don't sit at home. I'm not about to sit at home. If I have to write in my best friend, I'm going. I'm going to vote for somebody, all right? And so make sure that you get out and vote. And plus, on top of that, there's far too many state issues and state races of great value. I tell you, one thing that we really need to be in prayer about is our governor's race. Because of the way the federal government is going, the only thing going to be standing between us and them is our state government. And it's going to be very important. We have a pretty good House and Senate in Missouri. We desperately now need a good governor. Because if we hadn't had a good House and Senate in the state of Missouri, we'd have been sunk under this last governor. And so, praise the Lord for that, but we need a good governor in the state of Missouri now. And so let's just pray that we get one. Good being a relative term whenever you're talking about politicians, amen. But let's pray that we get a good governor. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. We're going to work on this thought tonight, building battlements. That's a deep title, isn't it? Building battlements. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's help. Brother Tim, why don't you lead us in prayer, if you would.
Father, we come before you tonight so very thankful for the opportunity and privilege we have to be in your house once again. And I pray that as we go into the preaching time that you would help us to put our minds and our hearts
standing tonight, building battlements. Well, as many of you are, or most of us, I'm sure, are already aware, neither houses in the Old Testament or the New Testament era had gabled or pitched roofs like we have on our houses today. We still have flat roofs around, but most of our houses have pitched roofs on them. They didn't have, no one had them in Bible times, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament era. Roofs, of course, were flat, and then on the outside, or on the outside of one of the outside walls of the house, there was a set of stairs that wrapped around the outside of the house and went up to the roof to give you access to the rooftop. That's why in Mark chapter 4, those four guys were so easily able to get their friend up on the rooftop so that they could get him down through the roof to where Jesus was, because there was a flight of stairs on the outside. You ever wondered how they got him up there? There's a flight of stairs. He just walked around the outside of the house and up onto the roof. And then, of course, the roofs were made out of sticks and dirt and different things, so they were pretty easily able to dig through the roof to get him down in there. Still would have been something to have seen, wouldn't it? I'm glad it wasn't my house. Amen. Somebody digging through my roof. But that's how they got such easy access to it. And most people in that time frame couldn't afford land. And so they couldn't afford space around their house. They couldn't afford the concept of having a yard or a backyard would have been utterly foreign to them, because most of them were dirt poor, and so they did well to afford a house or to be able to have a house. So there wasn't space around it. They didn't have a garden. They didn't have a yard. They didn't have any of those things. But what they did have was a flat roof. And so as a result of that, they spent a lot of time up on the roof, especially in the hot summer months, because another thing they didn't have was air conditioning. And so it was cooler on the roof than it was inside the house, and so they spent a lot of time on the roof. Matter of fact, when you read books about culture and habits of that time, you find out that they played on the roof, they fellowshipped on the roof, they visited on the roof. Many times they worked on the roof. If they had some type of home work business, as we would call it, they would work on the roof. They even slept on the roof many times in the summertime. And so they spent a lot of time up on the roof. And the Bible has a lot to say. Amazingly, when you read it, the Bible has a lot to say when it comes to examples of people on their roofs. It shows up a lot of times throughout the Word of God. Samuel, for example, taught Saul on the roof in 1 Samuel 9:25. The Bible says that Samuel instructed Saul in the things of the Lord, and they came down off the roof as they got ready to leave. So they had a little classroom up on top of the roof in 1 Samuel 9. Then Rahab, if you remember, hid those two spies that came to spy out the land. She hid them up on her roof in a pile of flax, or stalks of flax that she had there, probably was either storing them there or she was using them in some type of business as well with her other business that she did up on the roof. And so she stored them there and hid them in the flax. And then David awoke from his nap, if you'll remember. David awoke from his nap and took a walk on the roof, which is when he saw Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11, because when you were the king, your roof had to be higher than everybody else's. And so that's why he was so easily able to see into other people's courtyards or on top of their rooftops. Peter, in Acts 10, went up on the rooftop to pray. That's when God spoke to him about Cornelius. And then in Nehemiah's day, in Nehemiah chapter 8, when they observed the Feast of Booths, which is where they put up tents and reminded themselves where God brought them from, had to be the kids' favorite holiday in the Old Testament. You know, the Feast of Booths, where they camped out in tents, you know, for a few days. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says that many of them put their booths up on top of their houses on the roof. And so, again, that would be a kid's delight. Where are we sleeping at tonight, Dad? On the roof. That's a boy's dream right there, amen, sleeping on the roof. And so that's what they did in Nehemiah chapter 8. And then, if you recall, on a negative note, Absalom, when he rebelled against David, he set his tent up on the roof and took his father's concubines as evidence to all Israel that he had seized the throne. And again, that took place in a tent on the roof as well. So there was a whole lot of stuff going on the roof in the Old Testament, especially as well as in the New Testament. Now, because of that, because of all this rooftop activity that was taking place in Bible times, God commanded Israel in our text in Deuteronomy 22:8 that anytime a man built a house, that he was to build a battlement on top of the house. Sometimes it's referred to as a rampart. We would call it a wall around the outside edge of their house, and so on the rooftop. And so God commanded them that they were build that. Now, the Bible doesn't give us any record of any kind of divinely required building code, you know, as to how high the roof was or how high the wall was supposed to be. The Bible doesn't tell us. If you believe Jewish tradition, they said that the walls were about 3 feet tall that went around the top of the house. All we know for sure is that God required them to build one. Now, the reason for that is self-evident, I would think, isn't it? Why they would build a wall around the rooftop of their house with all this activity that was going on up on top of the roof? If so, that no one would fall off. and be killed or be seriously injured as a result of taking a tumble off the rooftop. And so with all this activity, again, it would be pretty easy to see how someone could fall off and be seriously injured or be killed. Someone could go over the edge. I mean, it could be a freak accident that could happen, that someone could fall over the edge. I was trimming some trees in my yard, and I had a big, this last Tuesday, and almost wished I'd had a battlement, amen, because I had that pole saw about 18 feet out over the edge, and the tree limb finally popped off, and the pole saw went down, and I was going after it, amen. And of course, you know how it is. I'm not turning loose the pole saw. That thing costs money. So me and it both about went off the roof. That's not a freak accident. That's something else. Because I should have turned loose the pole saw, but you're a guy, amen. I'm going down with my tools. But there could be a freak accident and you could fly off the roof. Inattentiveness. Now, I know a bunch of Baptists who would fall off not paying attention to what they were doing. Horseplay. Kids, you got horseplay on the roof. Somebody would probably get pushed off the roof if you had some boys. And you could be preoccupied. Or, you know, you never want to underestimate just being an idiot. You know, one of those, hey, watch this things. The next thing you know, somebody's falling off the roof. And so there's a whole lot of reasons why somebody could take a tumble off the roof. But whatever reason, or for whatever reason they fell off, you wanted to build a wall on your house, as the text says, so that you, no one would bear what the Bible calls blood guilt. You didn't want to be guilty of someone being hurt or injured in your home or off your roof when it was preventable. The Bible says that if you failed to build that wall and they fell off, then you were guilty of their blood. Now, maybe they were horse playing, maybe they were being an idiot, maybe they were doing something foolish and fell off, but the point is still the same. You bore some responsibility because you failed to build a rampart. You failed to build a battlement in which they would be safe. So he says, you want to build this wall so that you're not responsible for the death or the serious injury or another. Not only would that affect them, but that would affect you. I mean, every time you saw your house, you would think about that person who fell off. Not to mention if it was one of your children that fell off. Man, how could you look at the house the same? You know, and every time you saw that wall, you think that's where they fell from. Or see the spot where they were killed or injured, you think that's where they landed at. And every time you saw that, you think to yourself, why didn't I build a battlement around the roof of my house? And so you can see what God's saying, can't you? That first of all, we don't want anybody getting hurt. But then secondly, we also don't want to be blood guilty because we failed to build a battlement. Life means a lot to God. He is a God of life. Our enemy is the God of death, if you will. This culture is his, so we're in a culture of death. But God's people are supposed to be involved in a culture of life. We're all about life. New life, being born again, spiritual life, physical life, protecting of life. And so God's a God of life. We inherit that from him. And he's concerned about human life. And so in Deuteronomy 22, before they ever even get to the promised land, God gives this command. Not only do they not have houses yet, they're not even in the promised land yet. And God's already got them thinking about building battlements around the roof of their house. Don't you think that's significant? Sounds important anyway. Now listen, God didn't include this text for the purpose of giving us some kind of divine building code. All right, we're not saying tonight that you need to go home and in the morning build a battlement about the roof of your house. That's not what this is about. But God included it for some reason. And of course, the reason God included it is because we need to make some spiritual application from it. We've got a simple message tonight. But God, I think, wants us to make some kind of spiritual application from it, because why else would God put it there unless he wanted us to apply it to spiritual life? Now listen, this battlement was just a wall. That's all it was. It wasn't some, you know, mystical thing. It was just a wall that they built around it. But it had significance in the way that God commanded it to be built and why he commanded it to be built. And in that, I think we can find some spiritual application. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. So that's what we want to do. We want to make some spiritual application concerning this. We're just going to take some simple truths out of verse 8 and apply them to ourselves. So first thing I want you to notice in verse 8 tonight is I want you to notice that it says, when thou buildest a new house, then build this wall. Then build these ramparts. So when you build a new house, then you're to build this rampart, this battlement. Now there's no stipulation or qualification. It just says that whenever any man builds a house, he was to build a battlement. Now the reason that this the reason was that when a man made the decision to build a house, he also, by default, took upon himself the responsibility for the safety and welfare of everyone who lived in his house. It was his responsibility. Oh, come on. Whose responsibility was it to see that no one fell off the roof? It was the man's. And whenever he built a house, it was his responsibility to look out for the safety and the welfare of all those who lived in it. It was not something that was made by choice. It was not something that he grew into. It was not something that would be good if he got around to it at some point. It was his duty. And God says, whenever a man builds a house, it is his duty to build a battlement around the top of it, because the safety and the welfare of all those who dwell in his house, and of all of those who will eat on the roof and sleep on the roof and to play on the roof, all that responsibility rests with him. And so whenever a man built a house, no matter where he built it, when he built it, how he built it, whenever he built it, he was to build this battlement. Again, not something that he came to by choice or to grew in, but it was his duty to do so. Now think about this. Whenever a man takes a wife to establish a home of his own, a new home, he assumes by default the responsibility, not just for the physical welfare, but for the spiritual safety and welfare of his home. So whenever a man gets married, whenever he takes a wife and establishes a new home, we're not talking about physical buildings now, but when he establishes a new home, he assumes by default the responsibility of the spiritual safety and the welfare of that home. Listen, fellas, we don't make that choice. We made that choice, if there is a choice, we made that choice when we became a husband. When we asked this woman to marry us, we assumed by default the responsibility for the spiritual safety and welfare of the home. Because it's our responsibility, the spiritual safety and welfare of a home. It becomes ours. It is our duty, and we'll get to this in a moment, but it's our duty, fellas, to build and establish spiritual battlements about our house. Because when we got married, that came with the package. Are you with me? And so he says, whenever a man builds a house, when it doesn't matter, whenever a man takes a wife and establishes a new home, his first responsibility is to establish spiritual battlements, if you will, in his home. We'll get to that in a few moments. Whenever a couple decides to have children and to establish a family, they, by virtue of doing so, assume the responsibility for the spiritual safety and spiritual welfare of those children that God has blessed them with, if God chooses to bless them with children. They assume the spiritual responsibility. You don't have kids and then sit back and go, I wonder what our duties are. No, you think about that. This is strange, I know, but you think about that before you have children. You know, when you start thinking about how you're going to raise your kids and how you're going to discipline your kids and what you're going to establish spiritually, you know when you do that? Before you ever get married. That's why one of the things we deal with in premarital counseling is child rearing and what we're going to do. That stuff has to be discussed before you get married, because once you get married and have kids, listen, it's too late then to start building battlements. And so when a man chooses a wife and gets married, establishes a home, he has a duty and a responsibility to establish spiritual battlements, if you will, spiritual fences, spiritual protection concerning his home. And whenever a couple decides, now that we're married, we're going to have some children, we're going to establish a family as well as a home, then they, by doing so, just by the virtue of doing so, take upon themselves the responsibility for the spiritual welfare and safety of everyone in the home. It's not a choice, it's a duty. God says in Deuteronomy 22:8 that building a battlement, it's not a choice, it's a duty. Because this home is yours and you're responsible. Those kiddos are yours and you're responsible for doing so. It's not a choice, it's a duty by virtue of the fact that no one forced you to do it. You chose to build a home, and now it's your responsibility to build spiritual battlements. Now listen, if somebody falls spiritually, due to your failure to take that responsibility seriously, then the blood is upon your hands. This making sense to us? In Deuteronomy 22:8, God says, build battlements about your house. Dad, it's your responsibility. If somebody falls off that roof and gets killed, it's your fault. At least in part, it's your fault because you didn't take the initiative. You didn't take your duty seriously and build the protections that were necessary to keep them from falling off. Now, if you, spiritually speaking, if we as fathers, as parents, don't take that responsibility seriously in a spiritual application, and if we don't build battlements, and one of our kiddos falls off the faith, falls out of the faith, falls spiritually, then there's blood on our hands. Now listen, they stand in the road and make their own choices. And if we've built the battlements right and they climb over them, then the blood is on them. But if we don't establish battlements in our home, if we don't establish some spiritual law and rule in our home, if we don't establish the things that are necessary to help keep them from falling, and then they fall, then the blood is at least partially on our hands. Does this make sense to us? Because it was our duty to establish spiritual battlements. In the Old Testament, God took this seriously. He took it so seriously, and we're not going to get into all this battlement stuff from start to finish tonight, but if you didn't put battlements on your roof and someone fell off and got killed, guess where you were going? You're going to go stand before the judge because you failed in your duty, and as a result of that, someone got hurt, and you are either completely or partially at fault because you didn't establish the battlements that God told you to establish. Now listen, Dad, don't think for a moment that if you and I don't take our duties for the spiritual safety and welfare of our home seriously, and if we don't establish spiritual battlements in our home so that our home is inside the safety of some spiritual boundaries, and somebody fails in our home partly because we failed to own up to our duty and establish those things, don't tell me that you don't think that we're going to stand before the judge of heaven and give an account for the failures of our home. You with me?
Amen.
Certainly we are. Listen, if God required the people of Israel to stand before the judge when they failed to build physical barriers and someone fell and broke an arm, don't tell me that we're not going to be responsible when we fail to establish spiritual barriers and one of our children fail and the blood's on our hands. Don't tell me that God's not going to require that at our hands. He certainly is, because God's very clear about we have responsibilities as a father and we have responsibilities as a parent. Now again, as I've preached on 10,000 times, every kid stands in a crossroad. Every kid's got to decide if dad's, mom's God's going to be their God. But it's still incumbent upon me to ensure that I've done my duty to build those spiritual battlements in my life and in our home's life. It's no one to build. Listen, it's no one's duty to build those except ours. If you're a dad, it's your duty. If you're a mom and a dad, it's your duty. It's your responsibility to do so. And God says that if we don't, then we will certainly answer before the judge. I have no doubt about it. Mom, Dad, you can be sure that as fun as it sounds to have a kid, and as adventurous as it sounds, it'll get old, but as fun as it sounds, that child's total safety and welfare is now your sole responsibility.
Amen.
Most people, they can't take care of themselves. But it's your sole responsibility, and its spiritual welfare is your sole responsibility along with everyone else that's in the house. And if you fail to own that duty, you can be sure that the judge will not hold you guiltless. Young men, you better think about this before you take a wife. Because when you take to yourself a wife, you take to yourselves the duties and the responsibility of spiritual battlements, of taking the spiritual lead and responsibility, not only for yourself now, but also for this wife that you have chosen. And if you're not ready for that sole responsibility, then you're not ready to be married. If you're not ready for the responsibility to be solely responsible for the spiritual safety and welfare of a wife, it's not time for you to marry. And let me say this, if you're not ready to build and maintain spiritual battlements, then you're not ready to marry. And if you can't govern your own spiritual life, you're not ready to govern anybody else's. No, if you're not ready to parent yourself, if you can't parent yourself, you can't be a husband. And if you can't parent yourself spiritually, if your mom's still waking you up, it ain't time to get married. Amen. I know you're supposed to say ain't, but it just fits right there. It ain't time to get married. If you can't get to work on time, it ain't time to get married. If you can't govern your own spiritual walk, it's not time to be married. And I know we can fool people. But we know where we are spiritually. And if you can't govern yourself, it's not time. Fellas, listen, before you take to yourself a wife, you need to be where you're supposed to be in a position to own that duty. Young ladies, before you marry some guy, you better take a long, hard look at him. No, I'm not talking about how adorable he is and how cute he is and all these dimples and all that other nonsense. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about you better take a long, hard look at what kind of a battlement builder he is. And whether he can parent himself. And before you choose a guy or find a guy or say yes to a guy or ask him, whatever, before you do that, you better make sure that you can govern yourself spiritually. Because the same thing applies to the girls, isn't it? If mom and dad's still waking you up and you can't take care of yourself, you ain't ready to be married. Because with all of this comes great responsibility. Better think before you bring children into this world. Listen, if the two of you aren't reading your Bible, you're not spending time with God, you're not even going in your own spiritual life, what are you doing bringing kids into the world? Amen. Get where you need to be spiritually, because with all of this comes responsibility. You follow me? Whenever a man builds a home, with that comes tremendous responsibility. We just think it'll be exciting to be married, it'll be exciting to have kids, all this stuff will be a big, exciting adventure. Let me help you out a little bit. I've been doing this for a long time. It is an adventure. But with it comes great responsibility. And so we need to make sure that we're ready for those things. So God says, whenever we build a home. So Deuteronomy 22:8 teaches us that with the establishment of a home comes duties and responsibilities concerning the spiritual safety and welfare of those within it. Secondly, told you nothing deep. Secondly, Deuteronomy 22:8. Secondly, the second spiritual truth we see is that the time to build a battlement for your home is when it is new. He says, whenever a man builds a new home, the best time to establish battlements is in the beginning. Amen. When it's new. Yea, verily, the best time is before it's new, before it's even built. And so God says we need to establish these spiritual battlements, and the best time to build them is in the beginning. God commanded that a battlement be built the very first thing. Just as soon as Israel got into the land, and just as soon as they started building houses, God said, now's the time to also build the battlements. Why? Well, that ought to be self-evident. The battlements are of no value once somebody falls off the roof. Once someone is laying on the ground, broken, bleeding, or dead, it's too late at that point to build a battlement. The battlement won't help them at that stage. So when a man establishes a home, or a man or woman establishes a family, the time to build spiritual battlements, to own their responsibility, is at the very beginning when everything is new. It can sure, listen, mom and dad, you can be sure that as fun as it sounds having a kid, the total safety and welfare is now your sole responsibility along with everybody else in your home, and it's got to be built at the very beginning. These battlements do. It needs to be recognized as soon as the house is built. You know, if you had built a house in the Old Testament era and failed to do your duty, and one day, one of the kids is up on the roof, and they're playing, and fall off, and they get injured or crippled for life. What you would probably do, listen, if that was you, and you've established this home, you've got kids now, you know, and they're up on the roof playing, and all of a sudden you hear one of them scream, you hear a horrible noise, and you realize, if you're a parent, you understand this, that panic mode that kicks in, because you know something's happened, but you don't know what it is. Amen? You think, oh man, somebody's hurt, dead, something's wrong, that's something only a parent can know. And so you go tearing around the house. You ever made one of those bolting runs, you know, tearing around the house because, you know, half a second's going to make a big difference. And so you run around the building because you're in full-blown panic mode. So you get there and there's your kid laying on the ground with arm broken or leg broken or maybe even dead or seriously injured. You know, one of the first things you do as soon as you got the medical issues all taken care of and got everything, you know the very first thing you do? You climb up on that roof and do what? You build a wall. You say, man, we got to get a wall built. Because look what's happened now that this has taken place. That might help the others. It might ensure that you don't lose another one, but it's not going to be any help to the one you've already lost. Does that make sense to us? You need to start building battlements before you're even married. You need to establish this is what we're going to do in our home. This is the kind of home we're going to have. This is the kind of discipline we're going to have. This is where we're going to go to church. This is how we're going to live. This is how we're going to dress. This is how we're going to dress the kids. This is how we're going to do everything. Because all that stuff needs to be established before you're married. Part of preparing for marriage is a serious discussion about the battlements of a home, again, which we'll get to in a minute. Don't lose a child of the world before you decide to take your duties seriously. Build those battlements early. Build them now at the beginning. If it's too late, then build a battlement to protect what remains. But the time to start is at the beginning. With me? Told you nothing deep. God says we need to build them when they're new. Then thirdly, the battlements were not meant to keep people out. They weren't meant to keep people from falling onto the roof. They were meant to keep people who were within from falling off. This is deep stuff. I worked on this all afternoon. It wasn't about keeping people from falling on. It was to keep people from falling off. The purpose of spiritual battlements is to help keep our family in the faith. Amen. Where we want them spiritually. In a place of spiritual safety. Sometimes, as independent Baptists, and I've been guilty of this, we get so busy trying to keep the enemy from without getting in, that we don't stop to ask ourselves, what are we doing to keep those who are within still in? Does that make any sense? It's kind of like the guy in Old Testament era who went out and he's concerned about the enemy coming, the Philistines or whoever is concerned about him. So he goes out and he digs a moat all the way around his house and he floods it. You know, and he digs pits and fire exploding stuff. He builds all this kind of stuff, the pointy sticks you stick in the ground, the name of which has left me, but he's built all those and defensive positions, started to say firing ports, but they didn't have those back then, did they? But he builds all this stuff around his house. You get the idea. He builds all this stuff around his house and thinks, now my family is safe. And all of a sudden, one of his kids falls off the roof and gets killed. And he realizes, I've been so busy trying to keep the enemy out that I've neglected trying to keep them in. Does that make sense? Sometimes we can get so busy as independent Baptists trying to protect our family from the danger without that we never bother to build battlements that will keep our children from falling off, from falling out. Does that make sense to us? Man, we don't have a TV. We dress right. We don't have that filthy cable. You know, we don't have this kind of music. We don't allow that. And our kids don't stay anywhere. And we don't let kids stay over here. And we keep them away from certain places. And they don't have that Nintendo stuff. They don't have any of that stuff. PlayStation, whatever it is. They don't have any of that stuff. Because we're protecting our kids from the wicked world. Well, we should protect them from the wicked world. But what are we doing to keep them in the faith? You know, there's a big difference between the two. And the battlements were meant to help keep them where they need to be. And we need to build the kind of battlements in our home, which we'll get to in a moment, that help keep our children in the faith. Not just protect them from without. Man, dig a moat. No, I'm serious. Dig a moat and dig it deep. Keep this wicked world out. But don't forget the fact that I don't want to be so busy digging a moat that my kid falls off the roof. And I lose them in the faith while I'm protecting them from the world. And so he says, build it so that we can keep people in. You with me? Now, what kind of battlement do we need to build? Now, if you're expecting some big answers here, you're going to be disappointed. But what kind of battlement do we need to build? I could preach every night for the next who knows how many weeks on the spiritual battlements that we need to build in our home. But the reality is, we already know what most of them are. You know, a literal battlement was a 3-foot-tall wall. You didn't have to have a degree in engineering to know how to build the thing and recognize what it was. It's just a 3-foot wall. It's not like it was rocket science in order to build this thing. It didn't take a degree in engineering to know what one was. And I say this, you know, you didn't need a degree in engineering to look at your house, see the kids up there, and think to yourself, we ought to build a wall. Because if we don't, one of them's going to fall off. You don't have to have a degree in or a doctorate in theology to know what kind of spiritual battlements we need to build, do you? I mean, do we need a degree in pastoral theology to know, or a doctorate in ministry to know what kind of battlements we need to build in our house? We already know what they are. We could go around the room tonight and make a list of the spiritual battlements that we need to build. Again, we don't need a degree to understand those things, and we could make a list, but fortunately for you, I've already made one. We're going to resist the urge of dwelling on them. After the battlement of mom and dad's salvation, did you hear me? Very first battlement that needs to be in place, mom and dad need to be saved. Listen to me, if you're a young person and you're not sure you're saved, you are not ready to get married. And if you're a young lady and you're not sure you're saved, you are not ready to say yes. Because you are not in a place to make a decision like that. And you need to be honest and get saved is what you need to do. Amen. And if you're tonight and you're a parent and you're not saved, you're fooling everybody, you need to get saved. Because the best thing you can do for your kids is get saved and nail down your salvation. So after the battlement of mom and dad's salvation, there are some other obvious battlements that we need to build spiritually in our home. And as I said, we know what they are. We need to build the battlement of God and His Word as the foundation of our home. This home operates on the foundation of God's holy Word. What God says, we will do. Because our house is built on the foundation of God's Word. And we talk about it. And we memorize it. And we study it. And we go to Sunday school and master's club so that we might learn it. Because in this house, God's Word is the final authority in all things. And we magnify it and we speak of it. When we rise up and when we lie down and we walketh in the way, as Deuteronomy says, we talk of the Word of God. Because that's to be the foundation of our home. The other battlement that we need to build is the battlement of the gospel. We need to be seeking the salvation of our children. We don't need to just bring them to the preacher so he can lead them to the Lord, or bring them to the Sunday school teacher so she can talk to him about Jesus. We need to be seeking the salvation of our children. And talking of the gospel and talking of salvation and learning how to lead our children to the Lord and understanding these things. We need to build the battlement of talking, as I said, of the Word of God. We need to build the battlement of talking about Jesus. Man, we need to talk about Him. All the time. Every time something good happens, boy, isn't Jesus good. Every time we're blessed, isn't Jesus good. Every time something good happens to them, isn't Jesus good. Because we want to drill it into their heads that everything good comes from above. Amen. That the Lord is the author of all that is good in our life. We want to talk about Him so that He knows and our children know that Dad knows Jesus. And Mom knows Jesus. And they love Him. Because they talk about Him all the time. We need to establish the battlement of family prayer and family Bible reading. We need to pray together. Read our Bible together. There's nothing here we don't know. We need to build the battlement of consistency. We're going to be consistent. You already know this, but I'll say it anyway, that the worst thing on earth you can do in child rearing is inconsistency. It is absolutely the worst thing you can do. When you whoop a kid one time and let them get away with it the next, worst disciplinary move you can make in your life. It doesn't teach them anything. It just makes them bitter. They don't know this, but they'd rather be spanked every time. Because there's consistency to it. When you let something else get in the way of church and revivals and other meetings, it's inconsistent. Church is really important. Well, except for this. No, you hear me? It's very important, and you should go all the time, except here and here. Consistency will kill you. Inconsistency will kill you as a parent. We have to establish the battlement of consistency and be like clockwork. And when they're little and you say no, mean it. When you say you're going to get a whooping, mean it. When you say you're going to take it, take it. When you say you're going to give it to them, give it to them. And when you say church is important, prove it. By being consistent. We need to establish the battlement of family government. Amen. Led by the supreme ruler, Dad. Supported by the second in command, Mom. We need to build a battlement of family government that has rules. We have rules in our house. And when you break them, there's a penalty. When you do well, you'll be rewarded. When you break rules, there's a penalty. We're going to have law in our house. We're going to have order in our house. You're not going to run here. You're not going to break that. This is our stuff. You're not breaking it. You're not going to mess this up. You're not going to do this. We're going to have law and order in our house if we don't have anything else. If you've got young kids, if for no other reason on the top side of God's granite, for your own sanity, have rules. I watch some parents and I think, how on earth do they survive? When the monkeys are running the proverbial zoo, you got to have rules. Because two kids is not twice as much work as one. It's four times as much work as one. And two kids are not twice as much work as one. Two kids are eight times as much work as two, or whatever I was saying. You get the idea. I'm having trouble with all my illustrations tonight, but you understand what I'm saying. I raise kids, so I'm a mess now. But you know what I'm saying. Kids, you don't add, you multiply. So you have to have the battlement of government, of family government. You got to have the battlement of love and compassion. While you're exercising all this law and order, while you're exercising all these battlements and establishing God as the ruler of the home and the word of God as the foundation of your home, there needs to be love and compassion. It's kind of handy if they know you love them and you care about them and you care what's going on in their life, what's taking place in their life. Take them out every now and then to eat, just one of them by themselves, and listen to them. Let them know that you care about them. You don't care about the whole brood. You care about them. Not just the whole brood, but about them. We need the battlement of consistent commitment to the house of God that demonstrates God comes first. We need the battlement of serving God as a family in the house of God. You want to get under my skin? Tell me, well, we're not going to be there because we just need family time. We'll serve God together as a family. I know this is not thrilling to the kids, but come clean as a family. Sure. Go out and visit as a family. I'm not saying that's the only thing you should do. But teach your kids that we serve as a family.
Right.
We come clean as a family. We go on visitation as a family. We do this stuff as a family because we want to emphasize that in our home we serve God. We need to build the battlement of separation and holiness. Sure we do. There are things that don't belong in our home. There are people who don't belong in our home. Amen? There are friends that don't belong in our yard. Separation. There are things, if you have a television, there are things that we don't watch in our house on this television. There's videos we don't watch. There's things we don't watch because those things are bad for us spiritually. And we don't watch them. We don't have them in our house. We're not going to. Dad, that's your job. Can I add this? Dad, it's your job to govern entertainment, but listen to Mom because she sees things completely different than you see them. And I found that women, when it comes to entertainment, are sensitive many times to things men will never even see. But it's our responsibility to build a battlement of separation and holiness. Build a battlement of God-honoring speech. They shouldn't hear us talking poorly of other people. They shouldn't hear us making fun of people or how somebody looked or how somebody acted. Amen? They shouldn't hear us talking about somebody at church. If you've got an issue with somebody at church, man, whatever you do, don't talk about that in front of your kids. What's wrong with you? If you think somebody at church is goofy or something's wrong with them, don't talk about that in front of your kids. We want them to honor and respect people, especially in the house of God. Build the battlement of God-honoring speech. Build the battlement of godly music. Have godly music playing in your house. Build a battlement of godly friends and godly influences. I could go on all night with a whole list of battlements, but we know what they all are, don't we? We know. Did I tell you anything tonight you didn't already know? God just says these are our responsibilities. These are the things that we have to do and need to do and must do. The truth is that these things, far too often, we know what they are, but they don't get built early on in so many homes, and they don't get built until one, listen, they so many times don't get built until one family member falls off the roof. And then we get serious about building them. It's like that guy I said who's so busy protecting his family from without until somebody falls off the roof and he thinks to himself, oh man, and now I got to get busy. And we're building battlements like crazy. But so many times they don't get built until a family member falls off the roof. And it's not because we didn't know we needed them. In the Old Testament, anybody could look at a roof. Any dad could look at the roof and see three or four kids playing on the roof and think to themselves, man, I got to get up and get a battlement built. The reason they don't get built It's not because we don't know they need to be built. It's not because we don't know what they are. It's because of apathy. It's because of inattentiveness. It's because of preoccupation. That's probably our big one. Oh, did you hear what I said? One of the reasons we don't build spiritual battlements in our house like we should so many times is because of preoccupation. We're working and we're chasing our dream and we're doing this and working that and fixing this and going here and doing this and doing that. And we're so preoccupied with other things until one day somebody falls off the roof. And we think, what happened? What's going on? Well, we didn't build a battlement. We missed a battlement someplace because we were so busy preoccupied with what, listen, with what many times are good things. But we neglected the better. Because we don't want to do the work. Because of selfishness. Listen, if you're going to build spiritual battlements in your home, it's a lot of work. And it takes a lot of sacrifice to do it. Because if you're the dad, it's your job to build them. If you're going to set the spiritual standard, that's a lot of work. It's going to take some sacrifice to do it. And a lot of times, a lot of parents don't do it because they don't want to make the sacrifice. Sometimes it's because of a foolhardy sense of safety. All my kids are good kids. They'd never do that. You better wake up.
Amen.
Because beating in the heart of that little angel is a sinner's heart that is capable of... No, listen. You know what you're capable of. They're capable of the same thing. And you better not fool yourself into thinking that they're not. You know what you think about. You know the thoughts that you have. You know the behavior that you're capable of. And they're capable of the same things. You better not in a foolhardy fashion think that you don't need battlements because your kids would never do that. One of the great joys of pastoring many times is when you have parents come in and go, they're after my kid and they would never do that. Well, those four or five teachers probably all lying. Because they're out to get your kid. We had a meeting about that. And said, get their kid. That's the whole project. Inside of that little angel is the heart of anything but. And so don't get this foolhardy sense of safety. Well, my kids are good kids. They would never do that. You know how many people who had good kids who aren't good kids anymore? Because they thought their kids would never, ever do such a thing. Unwilling to see the need. You know one of the big reasons, and I'll get off this little list, is just lazy. It takes a lot of work, and sometimes we're just too lazy to do the work of building battlements. Everybody needs to stand across, what I said, and decide for themselves if they're parents' gods going to be their gods. But if someone in the family falls off the faith because I failed to build a battlement like I should, the blood is at least in part on my hands and I'm going to answer to the judge. This is serious business. Did you hear me? It's serious business. Let me finish with this. If you're a young person tonight, stay off the battlements. They're there for your safety. Stay off of them. Stay away from them. Don't climb on them. If you're a young person and you're blessed enough to have parents who have built battlements in your home, then praise God and mind the battlements. You know, there are far too many young people tonight who are out of church and out of the faith because they climbed over a battlement that their parents built. Their parents did what they were supposed to do. They established battlements, but when they stood in the road for themselves, they climbed over them. And you know what's on the other side? A straight drop down. You know, if you know kids, if you've got kids, and if you are a kid, then you know kids. If you were a kid, you know kids. Kids on the roof in the Old Testament had the whole roof to play on. But you know where they played. Oh, come on. You know where they played. One of the greatest illustrations of this, and I think I've used it before, is one time when we had VBS and we had the kids downstairs on the porch, and we let them out to play on the porch, and we had them broke up in two groups. I don't remember why now. But we had a line down the middle of the porch by the door, and we told one group you can play on this whole side, and the other group you can play on this whole side of the downstairs porch. And you know where both groups played? Right on top of the line. Both groups, it was just like a mound of ants around the line, just all of them piled up in one. I thought to myself, you got the whole porch to play on. You got the whole garden to eat out of. You got the whole porch to play out of. But where were they all? As close to the line, as close to the battlement as they could possibly get. That's where they were. And if you're lucky enough tonight, or fortunate enough tonight, blessed of God enough tonight, to have parents who are establishing some boundaries in your life and standing some battlements in your house, don't mess with the battlements. You know, in Old Testament times, when there were kids on the roof, you know what they were doing? They were walking along the edge. Hey, watch this. You know, if there was a battlement, there was probably some kid up on top of the wall. I know that because of all the trouble we have in the summer chasing people off this fence out here. We got this whole 2 acres to play on, and for some reason that fence is like a kid magnet. I've just got to fall off the other side and break an arm on the concrete below. Just remember, if you're a young person here tonight, I said all that to say this, it is your nature to climb over the battlements. It's true. It's our nature. It's our nature to want to pile up on the line. It's your nature to want to climb over the rules, the boundaries. It's your nature to want to do so. Just mind your nature. Just remember why they're there. Remember why in this house we have government. Remember why in our house mom and dad are always talking about Jesus. Remember why it is in our house that we're not involved in this because it would take us away from church and we always go to church. Remember why that's true. Remember why there are certain people who can't come to your house and why you can't hang around with certain people. Remember why we don't have certain kind of music in our house. Remember, it's for our spiritual welfare because they don't want you to fall off the roof. They don't want you to ruin your life or your spiritual life or your walk with God. They don't want you to ruin what God may have for you before you ever have a chance to realize it. So don't climb over them, because sooner or later you're going to fall. On the other side of the wall is at best crippling injury, and at worst, spiritual death. So if you're fortunate enough tonight to have godly parents who have got all these rules, all these battlements, all these spiritual boundaries, then you ought to praise God for that. And you ought to say, you know what? I'm not going to play around next to the boundaries. I'm just going to thank God for what I've got and stay as close to where they want me to be as I can so I don't fall off the roof, so I don't fall off the faith, if you will. Listen to what you've been taught. Amen? And stay in the battlements. Simple, simple message tonight. Listen, if you're a husband, dad, when you got married, you took upon yourself the personal responsibility for the spiritual safety and welfare of everybody within the home. It's your job to establish the boundaries and establish some spiritual battlements and say, this is the way our home will be. Because I don't want to lose even one. They're too valuable. Amen? When you got married, you took that upon yourself. Mom and dad, when you start having kids, guess what? It wasn't a choice to be made. It's a responsibility to be taken and owned. That it's now your responsibility. The spiritual welfare of these children are now yours. They're yours. Amazing responsibility to be personally responsible for someone else's spiritual welfare. It's your responsibility. It's your job as a mom and dad to establish battlements and saying, this is the way our home is going to be. Because we don't even want one kid falling off the roof. Amen? Don't get so busy protecting from that which is out there that you forget to establish things that will help keep them where you want them to be. Amen? Do those things we talked about. Make up your own. If you're a young person here tonight, and you've got a family who's established those boundaries, which is most of you here tonight, you ought to praise God for that. If you're a teenager, if you're old enough to understand what we're talking about, you ought to hit the altar tonight and say, thank God that I have a family who's got some battlements in our house. Thank God we have a family that has some rules, some things that are pointing me in the right direction. And I know that's the case because we got some great kids in our church. And that's because we got some families who have established some battlements. And you ought to thank God for that. Your young person, just remember this. Remember why they're there, and don't climb over them. Amen. Amen. Stay within them. We do our best as a church to have some battlements.
That's right.
And we ought to have them in our home as well. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would.